have syndicated law, have syndicated baggage into my coffee. So I'm in process of working on that. But right now you're all tuned in. Everybody can hear. So we're good to go. The story of the Old Testament, the story of the Bible, and you've heard this before, is constant and consistent in this. And that is you move. And that is that God loves his people. Alright? And God's people tend to wander from him. And he tends to go after them. And they tend to come home. And then, guess what they do? They wander. And he seeks them. And they repent. And they come and they wander. Over and over and over again, this happens. In our Bible study, Right in the Eye, on Wednesday nights, we find that in the book of Judges, they're doing this. In Joshua, we have found that God does amazing things for them, and then they want to do their own thing. And then God does amazing things for them, and then they want to do their own thing, and bad things happen to them. And this, you're going to hear the story over and over again. It's not because I'm preaching the same thing every week. It's because two things are true. This is the story of God's children since the beginning of time. And it's your story. Since the day you were born, and until the day that you die, I wish I could offer you some kind of formula for living the perfect life, choosing morality at every turn, choosing ethically in every way, and spiritually living out your days as Billy Grammy educated. But I don't, listen to me. I would be lying to you if I told you I had that formula. How it goes, see how the clock goes, and you know, see what the chicken gets here. Okay.
donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks, old wineskins cracked and mended, the men put worn-packed sandals on their feet, all the bread and food supply was dry and moldy, and they went up to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal and said to him, "We have come from a distant country, make a treaty with us." Most of you have no idea what's going on here, except that these guys dressed up and came to Joshua, okay, and said, "We're from a long way away. Let me give you the lowdown. They live next door." Okay? They're literally from Garrett County. Alright? And they know that they are next on the hind-kicking list for these people of Israel. Alright? They also know that even if they need a few people on their team, they're going to lose. So, they dress up, come next door, and play on their heartstrings. Play on this forgiving, loving God of Israel that they serve.
Initially, Joshua, they come to Joshua.
this all the time.
We would love to give to every person who walks in the door. Listen, I had three on Friday between 10:30 and 11 o'clock. Three. Rent, electric. First of the month. And the Action Council has learned that we're a giving church. And so they send people over here 10, 12 now a week. And I want to give them money. But the more we give, the more they come. The more they come, the more we give. The more we give, the less we... I don't want to tell any of them no. But there comes a day when I have a greater cause, a greater responsibility, a greater thing. And right now, you know what we do? We pray. We get prayed up. We get our minds and our hearts right. We set a standard. We go for it. Okay? Let me tell you a story that happened this week with me. It has to do with my growth as a pastor and my fear as a person. There's an individual whom I care about, okay? He got connected with an individual in the church. That individual helped him out. The job thing didn't work out. He went on his way. He got connected with me. I tried to push him toward a couple of jobs, tried to help him out with some money. No problem. He wants to get back with his girlfriend, baby mama, and start to take care of his kids, all right? So he gets a job, but he can't pay her rent. So he wants money from me, and I give it to him again. A third time, he comes to me with a story. I have a job. It is the day before payday. I need to make rent. 20 bucks is all I need. I've got the rest. I think to myself, you've got a lot. I can do 20 more. But I said, this is it. This is the last time. And I needed that to be true. I get a Facebook message Tuesday of this week. I broke my wrist. True story, I've seen pictures. I made $790 this month. It's exactly what I need for him. That's what I need him to be doing. He's on track, he's on his way. And here's what the last of it says. And my kids can't eat. What do I do? See, I can't ask what you would do. You know why? You didn't say it was the last time. I can't ask what you would do. Why? You haven't given the money out of your pocket that I've already given. It took me several hours. I got three texts, very nice texts, Facebook messages. And I'm sitting on my stairs, literally. I got the last one, and I was standing in the kitchen, and I just turned and I sat down on my steps. And here's what I said. I said, I appreciate all that you've done to get this far. And I'm proud of you. But at what point in time is it not going to be a broken foot, a broken arm, without a job, a hungry child, a hungry wife, a hungry person that's now at your door? Because I need to be a man of my word, and you will always know that my yes means yes and my no means no, I need to say no. And I want to feed your children, but I need to say no, and I hope that you understand. And I didn't know what I'd get back if I did anything. I got it. 10 minutes later. Okay, comma. Thank you, Craig. Whew. Right? Wrong? Not an easy decision. Anybody ever had to make one like that now that I've told that story? Raise your hand if you've had to make more than 100 decisions like that. Do we have that right here? We have that right here. These people want to make a treaty. They come a long way, and they're tricking them with poverty. They don't know that yet. There's one line that I need you to see. There's one line that you need to hear that makes all of this. Okay. So they retell the story in verses 9, 10,
10, 11, 12. It was warm when we packed it. The wineskins were new when we filled it. They were cracked. They give them the story. I've been out of work for 3 weeks. I broke my leg. I broke my arm. I broke my hip. I have kids in school. My husband just left for the army. I've heard it all, people. That's what's happening right here. This relates to us. I love the Bible because this relates to us. Here's what the next line is. The men of Israel sailed with the provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them and let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. God, Joshua spared their lives, spared their children, and that sounds like a good thing. Here's the problem. They didn't ask God. Well, Craig, sometimes don't we just know? Yeah. Sometimes you do just know. Craig, sometimes don't we just know? Yeah. Sometimes you think you know. Listen. There is never a bad time to check with God. There is never a bad time. You mean I should check with God even if I'm sure? Yes. You mean I should check with God even if I think I know? Yes. There is never a bad time to check with the person we know knows. To check with the person who's already seen tomorrow. To check with the person who knows the plans He has for you, plans to prosper you. To check with the person who separated your sins as far as the east is from the east. There's never a bad time to ask. And there's always problems when you don't. Well, Craig, how can there be problems when they're doing something nice for people? The problem is, in doing something nice, they disobeyed God. Even though they didn't know they were doing it, they disobeyed God. That's like saying, hey, I'm driving down the street at 55 miles per hour. I get pulled over by a cop. The guy says, you're going 55 miles an hour. You say, yes, I'm in a 55. And he says, no, you're in a 25. But I didn't know. Doesn't matter. You were going 55 to 25. And that's what God's going to say to Joshua. You didn't ask. Tyler's in the room, and now she's like looking up here like, oh, what's he going to say? I don't do this to her very often, but I'm going to do it now. My kids have a predisposition for eating between the time school gets out and dinner. Yes? They can't help it. My son gets in the car from school, doesn't say hi, Daddy, doesn't say how's your day. He says, can I have a treat? My daughter gets on and I'm hungry. Okay? True story. Alright? I don't mind my kids not going hungry. I don't mind them having a small snack. Now, my son thinks snacks that don't have sugar and snacks that have sugar are different, and he can have both. Cheese balls and Star Cakes, Star Crunches, all right? Zebra Cakes, whatever. He thinks he can have them all and then dinner, which he won't eat anyway. All right? Unless it's cheese balls and Zebra Cakes. And Daddy don't pull that, all right? But here's the thing. Tyler knows that she can have it, and I had to learn to be specific. Because if I'm not specific, here's what Tyler will do. Hey, I'm hungry. It's okay. We'll get you something when we get to the house, all right? Or, hey, can I have a drink? Sure. Give me a few minutes. And I come down, and there's a bowl of SpaghettiOs in the microwave. That's not a snack. That's a meal. And my response has been, I don't mind you eating. Here's what I mind. Did you ask? Did you ask? Now, there are some days, parenting related, that it doesn't matter. Here's the days when it's fun. I've got one of her favorite meals, adobo chicken in the crock pot. She doesn't know that adobo chicken is in the crock pot. She comes home, she does a few things, about 4:15, she makes a bowl of SpaghettiOs without asking, that she knows Daddy won't really care about. It's not that big a deal. What she doesn't know is that in 45 minutes, Daddy's going to have her favorite meal, and she's not going to be ready for it. Now here's what she'd say. I'll eat it anyway! That's right before at 8:30, she goes, I don't feel good. Daddy knows what's coming. And it doesn't mean it's like that every day, or it's like that with every decision. I don't mind the SpaghettiOs. I mind that you did not want. Yes. Anybody think God might feel that way?
Yeah.
That's what's going on. They would have avoided this whole situation if they didn't ask. Well, what's the big deal?
they find out that they've got a treaty with their next door neighbors, which means they can't kill the people who are in the land they are supposed to take. So now they've got another country and their gods and stuff that they cannot kill because they've taken an oath. And if they break the oath, that's also against God's will. And then the next thing that happens is the coalition, all right, 3, 4, 5 kings get together and they are going to go to war. But before they take out the Israelites, guess who they're going to kill? The Gibeonites, because they made a treaty with Israel and didn't come into the coalition. So now this huge army, a massive army of multiple kings, is coming at their neighbors whom they had a treaty with, so they have to go to war against them, for them, and they're going to soldiers are going to die in a battle that did not have to happen. They're sending husbands, wives, fathers, brothers off to war because of a treaty they should have never made. Now, it does work out. It works out. Joshua finally goes to him and says, "You tricked us. You don't get to trick us. God's not happy. We're not happy. We've repented before God, but you are going to be slaves." Now, I want you to watch what happens, how God works all things for the good. Here's what happens. They make them slaves. And I want to get the wording right here. So Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers, listen, for the community and for the altar of the Lord at the place God would choose. You know what he did? He stuck them in the temple. He stuck the people who worshiped other gods in the place where they would hear the name of God the most. The wood cutting and the altar building was going to put all of these people right around the temple of the Lord. And we find throughout history that these people actually become servants in the Lord's house for generations to come. They learn of the Lord, become believers in the Lord, and serve the Lord in His church years and years and years down the road. Even in Jerusalem, you can trace these people to servants and workers in the temple. God took a bad situation and worked it for the good. Because God's people said, "We're sorry." And God's people went and made it right. And then they said, "All right, but now we've got to deal with the problem. Listen to me. Justice does come. It has to. God cannot be a righteous God and not be just. There are consequences to what happens." But here's what they do. They go to this battle. Okay? They are going to, lose soldiers. But this is an incredible story with one of the coolest scientific miracles in all of the scriptures. Here's what happens next. The kings get together and they decide to come after them. The 5 kings of the Amorites, Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, and Eglon join forces. The Gibeonites sent word, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us." Joshua marched up to them. The Lord said, "Don't be afraid. I've given them to you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, the Lord threw them into confusion. They defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them down along the road to Beth Aaron, cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah, as from Beth Horon to Azekah. And the Lord hurled huge hailstones down on them. And more were killed by the hailstones than by the swords of the Israelites. So here's what happened. They take the first city, all right, and they whoop them good. And then they decide, everything's going well. Let's go get them. So they chase them all the way down the hill all day long. They're getting the slow ones, all right, like the chunky kids who get left. the sun stood still in the sky. And Joshua and the army were victorious. People argue about this miracle over and over again. I'm not going to do it. But there is proof. Not documented proof, but historical, archaeological proof that the Chinese, the Egyptians, people like the Syrophoenicians that used to draw the hieroglyphics and the pictures on the walls, they have found stories on the wall about a long day. About one day, right about the time of Joshua, that was longer than it should have been. There have been scientific experiments to try to back up time, and guess how far they're off when they try to put all the days together? Just under 24 hours. Listen to the verse. And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Listen to me, church. God is a God of justice. God is a righteous God. But God is an all-powerful, all-knowing, and loving God who still, despite our shortcomings, wants to love us, care for us, honor us, give us victory over our enemies, victory over our temptations, victory over sin. Just like I told you in the beginning, we have within us the power to win the victory. And He gives it to them no matter what it takes. And they praise Him for it. Guys, as we come into this new season, as we have our town hall today, as we look at the things coming ahead, there are big. As God continues to bless us and pour out blessings on us, to point us at some things and to take us away from some other things, I am overwhelmed. Not sad. I'm not sad at what we're losing. I'm overwhelmed at what we're gaining. And I am not afraid to ask for big things. Are you? Do you really have the gumption, the faith in this God you serve, to have the audacity to ask the sun to stop? Yes. I believe you. I'm not sure about them, but I believe you. I do. Do you have that kind of faith? Faith that will move a mountain? I'm sure of this. God is good. And some of you have mountains in your lives that you want to be moved. Some of you have sin in your life that you need to turn away. Some of you have pursuits in your life that you want to go after. Well, Craig, I'm not good enough. Doesn't matter. Craig, I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Doesn't matter. You have a Father who loves you and wants to bless you. Are you willing to go all in? Ask Him for what you need. Ask Him to do greater things. What is that song? Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. I believe that NBC is in for greater things. I ask you over and over again. I'm going to keep on asking. I don't care if you get tired of it. Are you in? And what audacious thing? What crazy thing does God want from you? Ask. Beseech. Cry out. Let Him do something in you that only He can do. Only He can do. God, right now.